Sahanao bhunaktu Sahaviryam karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastama vidivishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Okay, page 48. The demigods continue to reveal Hiranyakashipu's determination. By dint of severe austerities, I shall reverse the results of pious and impious activities. I shall overturn all the established practices within this world. Even Dhruva Loka will be vanquished at the end of the millennium. Footnote 12. Srila Jiva Goswami writes, at the time of annihilation of the material universe, when all the material planets perish, the Dhruva Loka is not destroyed, but merely becomes no longer visible for the eyes of the conditioned souls. Bhagavat Sandarbha, Anucheda 72. Therefore, what is the use of it? I shall prefer to remain in the position of Brahma. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates. Hiranyakashipu considers, I will make the world opposite. Those who suffer by vows like celibacy and austerity will attain hell in the next life, and you will have to suffer. Those who are only absorbed in material enjoyment in this life will attain the enjoyment of swarga in the next. Material enjoyment will be the recommended piety and sadhana. Restricted enjoyment will be a sin and not recommended. This will be instituted. 13, footnote 13. Similar notions are not foreign to the Western religious traditions. From historian Geoffrey Burton Russell comes one more key element of the Zoroastrian faith that needs to be mentioned. Indeed, celibacy was regarded as a sin, as was any asceticism, a vice of immoderation, a refusal to use the things of this world for the purposes that God intended. Celibacy, which was highly respected in the Vedic religious culture, is likewise a sin in Judaism and Islam. It was a discipline important to early Christianity, but Reformed Christianity has discarded it entirely, heeding Martin Luther's admonition that, quote, the state of celibacy is the greatest enemy that faith has. It never comes to the aid of spiritual things, but, more frequently than not, struggles against the divine word, treating with contempt all that emanates from God. Table talk. Woo. 4,000. No, that's no. C's are 1,000 or those 100. So 491. What did it mean? Oh, this whole thing. That Zoroastrianism regarded celibacy and all asceticism as sinful returns us to the premise that launched our survey of the historical foundation of Western religion. Quote, transcending duality has never been an option in Western religion, rooted as it is in an ancient distortion of the Vedic path of fruitive activities, karma marg, Sahotra Swami, Dimensions of Good and Evil. So, because of this element of passion ignorance, then they like to switch things. So the Vedic system, it's that you have the balance all the way through. You have the aspects of celibacy, you have the aspects of non-celibacy, you have the aspects of asceticism, you have the aspects of engaging the senses. So depending upon the position of the person, all these things are applied. So they're saying it's against God's, you know, world that all these things are here to enjoy, but the principle of celibacy is also part of God's creation. Right? So that's the thing that's missed, is they don't know how to balance these. But because of the demoniac mentality, then they want to enjoy, therefore they go against these things. Right? So, someone wants to enjoy, therefore they'll take that it doesn't function. Does this make sense? Now, it's also, these things may be very much of a trouble. If you're not following practice, if you're not vegetarian, you're not in good association, you're not these things, it will also be very, very difficult. So you see, sometimes they have these things, sometimes they don't. So if they don't, it becomes very difficult. We don't really hear, Judaism is not vegetarian by nature, right? And I think Christianity also is not like that. Islam, I've never heard that they were had any vegetarian aspect to them. Zoroastrianism, I can't say. I kind of get the idea they may have been vegetarian. But the problem comes is without the vegetarian aspect and without the principles of sadhana, of waking early and doing all this, then the celibacy will be very difficult. Therefore, to try to do it, then like they see that it militates against what they're trying to do because it gets in the way. Which we would also agree. But it's not because the celibacy is the problem. This problem is how they practice it. Right? Let's say we give a whole bunch of really nice, sharp, high-grade kitchen knives to a bunch of little dinky kids. What's going to happen? Right? So, is the problem the knives? No, it's the problem is little kids. You give these same knives to the chef, and they do wonderful things. Yes? Yes, there's no higher taste, but there's also no support. Means ultimately, even if they following the Vedic nicely, they're following all the sadhana, they're able to be celibate, still without the higher taste, then it still won't have its effect so much. That's why the example is given between like Haridas Thakur and his name, Vishwamitra. Right? That both of them girls come, but then one gets distracted, one doesn't. You could say, okay, well, Haridas Thakur is with the prostitute at Benipal, you know, so then, like that, but she's a girl from this realm. They say Vishwamitra, but she was from the heavenly planets. But then, after that, Maya herself came and, you know, to attract Haridas Thakur, and she ended up taking initiation from it. So, you know, so then you can point, Prabhupada points, uses this example many times, is that bhakti can take you to the point where one's just not interested because you don't see anything not connected to Krishna. You know what I'm saying? So just because something has its nature doesn't mean it's for us to enjoy. Does that make sense? So that's the whole point, is that here, the idea that I'm not the controller and enjoyer is not on the table. Right? Have you ever heard of in any of the world religions that I'm not the controller and enjoyer? You know, there'll be sometimes that moment, you know, fate is there and we have to die, whatever the divine, some few things like that. But it's kind of like, well, that's the ultimate, you know, at least I'm the controller and enjoyer on a small level, you know? Like that. Maybe on the ultimate level, yes, of course I'm not. There'll be that moments. But in the general thinking, it's always the controller and enjoyer. So unless that itself is dealt with, then all the good qualities start to not be able to be used very well. Right? Because even though they say, oh, celibacy is bad, but how are they defining celibacy? Right? Here it's that there's desire, it's being checked. And so that's unnatural. Okay, fine. But then why is it that, you know, there's only one wife. Right? I mean, Christianity, there's only one wife. Islam, they could have many. Judaism?
In the beginning, they had few, but
now... Now it's just one. Oh, yeah, because some of the acharyas had a few wives, yeah? Like that. But in practice now, it's not that it's against it, but it's just no one does it, and so it's kind of a taboo. So then the whole problem comes is that you're still restricting it. So the whole point is how much you're restricting it. That's the whole thing. So why is it this much restricting is bad, this much restricting is okay? So that they're not addressing the principle of celibacy. So, yes?
So you're not appreciating how
strongly
should you present the four ideal principles.
That comes, I would say, more when there's an interest in the process. The first thing would be is the nature of the soul, nature of God, nature of the world, our relationship with Him, and how that process to connect with God is through chanting, and then we can develop that love. That, because that's the essential point. When that's there and there's an interest, then these are things that will help it. Like I mentioned, I remember one gentleman, he loved reading Chaitanya Charitamrita, you know, chanting. But and he was once saying something to me about, you know, coming to visit Mayapur, and he knows a vegetarian, he's okay with that. And he was quite enthusiastic that, you know, he'll follow that. But it's when the conversation then led into him being vegetarian, it's like you hit a brick wall. You know, so that's all the farther you can get. But the point is if you want to be serious, these four good principles are what makes things work. Because these are the things that distract one the most from Krishna consciousness. But always remember, never forget, these are the four that make you forget and not remember the greatest. Like that. So that's why they are singled out. Right? And they also then destroy the pillars of religion. So that's why they're just not used. Does that make sense? Yeah. So I would say is that depending on how the conversation goes, they're inquisitive and they go into it, you can go into it. But the main point is the chanting. But as soon as that, by chanting, they get purified, then you add them in. Not that, oh, we don't have to talk about them, so we never talk about them. No, maybe we don't talk about it now, but we talk about it after 10 minutes or after 10 days or, you know, like that. Does that make sense? Because it naturally comes up. You know, as I mentioned, the man comes, he hears about offering everything to God, he goes home, and his standard meal that he cooks, then he thinks, yeah, you know, about, you know, God, by God's grace, I have this, that. So that's a step forward for him. So if he does that, he reads a little, chants a little, or at least comes to the temple, associates, then he'll start, but after a while, he'll start to pick up on these things. Then at that time, you introduce. You know, it's just like, should a child be taught responsibility, you know, skills, duties, all these things? Of course. But when do you teach them? Right? That's the whole point, is when they're able to take it. So, they're acting like a two-year-old, you only, you know, just basically a distinction between, you know, right things and wrong things. Right? But as they go, that broadens what is right and wrong. So like that. So if the person you find immediately is more mature, then it's given quickly. You know, it's like before is basically for many, there were those in the first discussion you could bring them up and they weren't a problem. And there were many who you had to take weeks of Sunday feasts before they could accommodate it. You know, or even some years. And then nowadays, you know, who knows? I don't, you know, it's saying. Yeah, yeah.
Because I've heard, you know, it's a popular discussion that we're not a movement of four regular principles. We are Hare Krishna movement, so we should just follow that.
Yes, but the point is the acharyas, the shastras all recommend it, so there must be meaning. So this is the difficulty, is the approach to this is not mature. You know, it's just like saying, oh yes, you know, we're just supposed to love each other and this and that, so as a family. So, since it's all about loving each other, we don't really have to train the children in anything. You know, if we just love them and that, everything will work out, everything will be perfect, you know. You know, the world with no borders, everyone will love each other, we don't have to have anything, just everyone moves around freely, everything will do everything perfectly. Do we see it anywhere? No, we just see it getting less and less like that. You know what I'm saying? You know, say Europe practiced for, you know, some months, you know, a Europe with no borders, and now there's all kinds of weird stuff going on. You know, just the reactions and all that. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that people are in the, it is a prison. And if there's no restriction, then what's the point? And if we talk about all these nice and be good and all that, isn't being nice and being good a restriction? You have to be nice and good. Well, if I just being natural, what if I want to be nasty? I just feel like being a rat bag this morning. You know, so then why not? If it's just all free and do as you like, why can't I do that? You know, no. But so that's the whole thing. It sounds like, oh, everything's free and open. But it's not, because you have to be just free and open. And you have to be free and open in that particular way, not another way. Does that make sense? So that's the difficulty. It's not mature. Yes, we're the Hare Krishna movement, so these things are supportive, but they're of secondary elements. They're very important. The Vedic system, these four are extremely important. Then the others have meaning. Because if you don't follow these, how do you follow anything else? Does that make sense? You know. And so then we just take it. Let us just go down this path a little bit. So does that mean that the individuals who profess this, that meat eating is okay and it's not a big deal, it's not an obstacle really in the path, because we don't have to worry because we just chant Hare Krishna? How about, okay, gambling, you know, is that cool? Is that all right?
Gambling
means...
Meat eating is just good loss.
Huh?
Gambling is not a problem in that sense.
Oh, okay. And okay. Intoxications, depending upon what it is, if it's light on the light side, it's okay, but I don't think they want a main lighting heroin, right? Yeah, okay. And of course illicit sex, that's like, hey, that's cool, right?
That's good.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So yes. So therefore, it's only their perspective that they're saying. So it's again back to the point. Is they're going to restrict? Because if anybody goes outside of what they consider okay, you know, a little bit of the lottery, a little, you know, sports, or, you know, a little bit like that, but are they cool at going down to the horse races and losing the whole, you know, all your money? You know, going down to the casino and losing it all? You know, so that they may not. They may just say these other lighter, you know what I'm saying? So, like that. Except illicit sex, that, you know, as long as it's not with someone that they shouldn't be with, or at least get found out. But, you know, in the circle that their circle that is considered cool, it's all right. So that's the whole point, is that their perspective will actually be the standard. So they're saying, oh, we're not worried about standards, but they're exactly worried about their standard. Because the same person, if you do something outside of their standard, there's morality, and how is this, and how can they be a devotee? Okay, what if the temple president is found doing some of this nonsense that they say is all right? You know what I'm saying? Can he be the temple president? You know, that's the problem. Immediately, then it'll go. You know what I'm saying? So that's the whole thing. The other thing, in my time, free time, grihastha, I do what I like, when I come to the temple, everything should be more pukka. But that, all it is that, you know, it's just not pukka enough. Does that make sense? So they're still enforcing the same thing with the same ferocity. It's just that it's their own standard, instead of one that's actually established by authority. You know? Like that. So that's why they can say these things, and it's true, but do they know enough philosophy to say this? It's just like the principle that I would say would be like, say, Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Kas Goswami Guru. When he come to the house, you know, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would be respectful. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur wouldn't pay him any regard. So then, Guruji made a comment one day about why he's not being respectful. You know, why aren't you offering obeisances? And he looked at him directly and says, do you have the ability to digest it? So my point is those who speak these things, they don't have the philosophical grounding to actually digest what they're saying. You know, it's like referring to something very elevated, but not having the adhikar to actually make the comment or make the decision. So I would say these things most of the time are being said in immaturity. You know? Though, let's say you have a very enthusiastic new preacher who's focusing on these so much, and then a more mature preacher says, don't focus on this, focus on the chanting. That's correct. But if it's seen that, oh, we don't have to worry about these things, so we don't talk about them and all that, that's not actually mature. Does that make sense? So the same position, depending upon how you put it, can be more or less mature. Is that okay? Yeah.
In regards to this question, right, I'm wondering about this authority shift, because people who are presenting themselves as authority, and then you say, no, there's a higher authority. But then, if they're, like, I wouldn't say unable, but if they let go of their, like, of their own being authority, but they are not fully aware of what the higher authority means, then it's like they're in transition. Like, how to make the transition?
But they're already in transition anyway, because if you're not accepting actual authority, whatever your concept of authority is transitioning on a daily basis, right? You just pick up your phone and go into, you know, trending or the news or anything like that, and you're going to be immediately then dealing with what is the think in the modern world, right? And so then it's already changing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they think
that here, like this. I'll show you the thing. It's like this. I don't know how they do it now. I think I gave the explanation before. Before they had the what were those monsters called? Wow, I can't even remember. It's been so long. This is really not there. But there's a system where there are companies in the world that all they do is sell news. Their business is to find news, and they sell it to others who are in the news business. So your, you know, radio stations, newspapers. You ever seen sometimes there's an article, news, front page things, and at the bottom, of it'll in brackets, it'll say Reuter or something like that?
Yeah.
Like that. That means it's coming from that news agency. So that means this news agency, because they're news, there's news about anything in the world. Anything's happening, it's there. Now, according to what's popular today, then who's going to present the news? Means, in other words, they wholesale news. Right? Who's going to retail it is going to go by, okay, what news I put out there is going to catch the people's attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just like there's the earthquake or over in Japan. You notice that suddenly all over the world there's something happening?
Mm-hmm.
Like that? And then other times nothing's going. It's like now. Do you remember it was about, was it 3 weeks ago or something that there was an earthquake? There was a tremors here?
Mm-hmm.
No, but did you and you felt it here? It was over in Burma.
Yeah.
It was quite big. And so when I felt it, I just looked it up where it is, because these guys are online. They're always telling what's going on. So it took a while to find it, because what had happened the same time, basically, there was one in Italy. Now, where is Italy? Right? That's in the first world. So, of course, that's big news. Nothing much happened, but it was quite a big earthquake. The one in Burma, much more damage than that. It doesn't go on and all that. So it took a while to find it. One place had it, but everyone is talking about Italy. And so then as I was looking for it, I was scrolling down, and they were talking about what earthquakes are happening right now all over the world. There were tons of them.
Why this earthquake?
Yeah, no, but of all different, you know, there's ones down to 1.2 and this and that. You know, who cares, right? You know, until it hits like 5 or 6, no one even pays attention. So, but any time on the planet, there's like 20, 50, 100 earthquakes going on all the time, right? So, it doesn't come in the news unless it's major. You know, if the Italy one hadn't happened, it probably wouldn't, the Burma one wouldn't be in the news. Right? You know, it's like what, big San Francisco earthquake, Golden Gate Bridge fell down, 56 people died. I mean, you know, it's not small, but 56. On the front pages, you know, the big monster headings, this, that, it's in the news. So the same day that came out, you know, you have the little column on the side that's just all news around the world. So there's a little dinky column, one sentence, that in Azerbaijan, there was an earthquake, you know, because when the earthquakes happen, they happen all around the world, that 25,000 people died
you know, little print, you know, one sentence. But big headlines, you know. 56, you know, San Franciscans died because of, you know, this earthquake. You understand? Does that make sense? So the point is that these news agencies wholesale news, and then those who retail the news, they just look at what's popular. So if there's something big event happened, then everyone will talk about the earthquakes. But then that, you know, after a while, no one wants to hear about earthquakes anymore. You know, and then something comes up with a celebrity, then everybody's doing celebrities. And then there's a murder, then everybody talks about murders. So the whole point is that every moment, the modern think is always changing. Always changes. Whatever's popular, that's up.
Addiction.
That's all. So it just comes up, whatever is there. So this whole idea is that, no, we're working on it. There is no standard. There isn't one.
So people are addicted to chaotic standards, and for them to shift from it to a systematic standard, that's
the problem is because then it's authority, absolute authority. And in the Western paradigm, no one's ever liked that. The idea that there's an absolute authority and people accept it and follow it is generally a non-Western thing. You know what I'm saying? Every other culture in the world except the Western culture accepts that.
The East also is nothing. The East is saying, I'm the authority.
No. But still, is they're the authority, but whoever's established the authority, everybody else accepts them as authority.
Or they kill themselves and make a huge step.
That's another thing. Wait, don't get off like that. What we're talking about is, in general, there's the other one is not. So from the time of Socrates, we see that the concept of having an absolute authority is not appreciated. So that's the whole point. If there's no absolute authority, we can speculate. And speculation is the taste. That makes sense? So you don't want to use the modern as a thing. They'll say, no, but we're just doing, you know, what's the real. That's not the real. As I said, it's just whatever sells. They're thinking, oh, in truth, they're presenting news. No, they're selling news. Do you think that journalist, that investigatory journalist, is not getting paid? He's doing this on the side just out of the goodness of his heart. He just wants the truth to be known. So that he's getting paid for it. He's not getting paid. He gets a different job. Rare you find someone there on a thing and they go after it on their own. They're very rare, those people. But generally there's some vengeance, some envy that drives them also. You know, along with the, you know, good quality and all that. But what you see in the newspapers and magazines, those guys are being paid. So if they put a little twist on it to make it a little bit more flavorsome so that people will, their article will get more attention or get more money or be taken over the other guy who's also presenting an article, they'll do it. All this talk about truth and this and that, it's all nonsense. As Bhaktisiddhanta says, what Thakur said, Sarer Gober. Sar means bull and Gober means dung. Yeah. So that's a standard, you know, Vedic pronunciation. It's not considered improper. Yes. Okay. So, like that, is that since it's all about enjoyment, you don't see these attacking other things. He's not saying, I'll turn everything upside down, pious and impious. So if you go to make something into juice, it'll turn solid. If you go to make something solid, it'll turn into juice. He's not doing that. He's not disturbing any of the universal mechanics and laws that can be used for sense gratification. He's only attacking those things that are against sense gratification. Right? What he wants to be long-lasting will be. What he wants to be temporary will go away. You understand? So we see is it's not that he's turning all the laws upside down. That's why we say he's in passion. So if in ignorance, you just turn everything upside down. Right? Is that? Yes?
Apparently, ignorance doesn't give much of a result. So it's not for his benefit.
No. I mean, it'd be crazy, you know, the... person does the thing, destroys everything, and they have that maniacal laugh, you know, and like that, and then, you know, they fall to their death, you know, as they, you know, like that. You know, it's one of those. So it doesn't, nobody really appreciates those. Like that. So yeah. Okay. Srila Prabhupada adds, Hiranyakashipu's demoniac determination was explained to Lord Brahma by the demigods, who informed him that Hiranyakashipu wanted to overturn all the established principles. One might ask how this would be possible, since the universal order has been established since time immemorial. But Hiranyakashipu is proud to declare that he would be able to do everything by the power of his tapasya. He even wanted to make the Vaishnava's position insecure. These are some of the symptoms of asuric determination. They think, my power is so great, I can do it. They don't, the Lord's always control. You can't go against the laws of nature. That makes sense. You know, so he'll just enforce things or get his people to do things. But he can't actually make the laws of nature change, because he's in no way connected to that. Yes?
I still can't get my head around that. Well, it seems to be a contradiction that he knows all these things. You know, he knows about Krishna, he knows about soul and all this, but still he thinks that.
People that know things never do something wrong. People that don't know anything never do anything right. See, because you're working on the principle 100% squeaky clean, good. Any flaw, totally and disgustingly bad. You understand? You have to work out gray. We go for 99 shades. You know, it's a more full spectrum. When you go less, it gets a bit weird. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the whole thing, is that 100%, that's prema, you know? And zero, it's, you know, probably some microbe somewhere. So you have everything in between. So that means they know this, they're using it like this, but why, the point is if he knows the Vedic culture, but he's only using it for sense gratification. So it's not possible? Okay, let us say you have the big, rich...
No, it's not that. Sorry.
Okay.
It's more that he knows Krishna's supreme, but yet he thinks he's going to be more powerful.
Yes, because he thinks by my tapasya, I'm the controller and enjoyer, so of course I can be.
But he knows he's not at the same time.
It's not so much that. That's where illusion is. That's where Maya is. Right? The point is he knows that Vishnu takes care of all these things, but he thinks he'll become more powerful than that by his tapasya. He's doing tapasya. He's becoming so powerful. He's born powerful. And then as he does, he becomes more powerful. So he just thinks he can continue that and become the most powerful. You know, they always want to be the best, be the... Yeah. You know, so that's the whole thing. It doesn't apply.
It's like these days, somebody with a lot of money, they think they can be more powerful than the law and the government. And
yes,
and
of course. They'll just buy everything off and this and that. And by their karma, they have the good karma. It works for a while, but you see, at some point, it totally collapses.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. So like that. So point is he has good karma. Where is Jai and Vijay from? Okay, now would you consider that pious?
Yes.
Okay, and when we're converting, you know, piety from the spiritual world into mundane piety, how's the exchange rate?
Pretty good,
right? So it's just like if you come from the spiritual platform down to the material platform, what is the jiva's first appearance in the material world? Brahma. Right? So he's coming here first. All he wants to be is Brahma. You know? It's a simple thing. He only wants to be Brahma. You know? What's the big deal? You know? Everybody else got to be Brahma, you know? Like that. He comes down first, he's a demon. What happened to my Brahma? Hey, I got ripped off here. Right? You know? So, is that okay? in a sense. So it's not uncommon. You have to be able to take it. Someone's really good here, but they're weak somewhere else.
Yes, some anarchists.
Yeah, yeah. Like that. So it's just where they are. So don't worry about that. You know what the standard of pure devotional service is, and so you're trying to remove those that cultivate that and remove things that are not. Always remember, never forget. So you're cultivating both. It's not that, oh, if he has this, how can he be advanced? No, he's advanced in this area. That area is still weak.
I guess I'm thinking of logic, but actually you can see even in our own lives that people, they know, like they learn about Krishna consciousness and the process and stuff, and it makes sense to them, but still they don't accept it. And it,
yes,
it doesn't, like, it's the same.
Because they don't want to do it, or it's some area they don't like, or it's
then
just like, isn't there something that you know about and you can't do at the time, but years later then it comes very naturally.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's because by being purified by the process, the knowledge and detachment come, so now you fully understand it and you can apply it.
Yeah.
So it's the same principle.
Yeah.
Okay.
You say that the gray area is problematic.
Yes.
It's usually for kids. They also don't understand the gray areas.
No. But they don't generally don't have issues.
Yeah. Then when adults are like that, means it's a lot of ignorance predominantly. Can you say that?
Yes. But in the kid, that this ignorance is, because it's mentioned, the Lord performs this pastimes of ignorance. You know, it's seeming. You know, because kids, how they behave and that is based on that principle. Because it's like their nature is kapha, right? And so, but there's a touch of air that therefore they run around all the time. Yeah. Then as they go, when they hit teenage, then passion comes up. And that lasts until one's like 50 or something. Then vata comes up. So that's why they think all the time. Right? Yeah. You know, so like that in the cause. Yeah. So that's the whole point, is that depends upon the training. You either have big kids or little adults. See, this is did it come up here? I think we were having this, I think, after class discussion. That is one of the things that came up with the Age of Enlightenment. Is that the academics, they didn't appreciate that children are being taught in a way as if they're small adults. They thought, no, they're children. They should be taught as children. So that was the big major shift from the traditional methods they were using that produced, you know, your more kind of more mature adults. Because if you had a young person, you treat them that the knowledge they're using is adult knowledge, but you're teaching it to them on their level. But it's adult knowledge. Then when they become adult, they can use it. But it shifted the paradigm too. No, they're children. We should teach them children's knowledge on the children's level. So when they grow up, they're just big children. So that's the difference. The older cultures are traditional. They deal with you as a potential adult, while the modern deals with you just as a kid. So therefore, the modern world, most people are big kids. Very few people are actually adults. And we look back in the history, we see many young people were actually just, you know, had the adult mentality, just not so experienced and mature. Does that make sense? It's just like, yeah. Is that okay? Yeah, so it's just a difference on how you approach it. So we prefer dealing on the adult platform. You just give what works for the person. Right? That would be the difference of what we were talking about before, the first discussion. Is the principle is we're chanting and following the regulative principles, but this person can't accommodate that now, so how much they can accommodate, we engage them, because any engagement in Krishna consciousness is beneficial. But eventually they'll mature into the standard. While the other is actually immature, they'll present it as it's very mature. That's the point, is when you drop below, something higher is presented as lower, something lower is presented as higher. So then it's presented, oh no, we're only chant Hare Krishna. We don't care about all these things. Chant Hare Krishna, don't care. Yes, that's fine. Look at Haridas Thakur. 5 years old, left home, vegetarian his whole life, never had a place, you know, that was his own, always just chanting all day, never got married, never made a business. So if you're doing that, then good. Great, coming out of your mouth says, oh, we only chant, we don't care for the rules. I'll accept it. But if that's not what you're doing, then what about all the rules you're following? You know? You're grihastha. Can you just go home anytime you like? Anytime you like. One day you come home right after work, one day you come home at 10 o'clock at night. Does it work?
Once.
Once. And that's only for example, right?
Yeah.
Okay. He really endeavored hard for that explanation. Okay, I'll let it go this time. But then he'll become proud, thinks, I can give an explanation. No, next time, that's it. Yeah. Isn't that what he says? So, totally have to follow all the rules. But then it's speculative. It's up to the individuals what rules they follow. The Vedic system is every soul has the potential to be Krishna conscious. So therefore you deal with them in their state of potentiality. So the potentiality is at this point is less, you deal on that platform. But by performing devotional service, then knowledge and detachment come, the potential automatically increases. But if you keep a lower standard, oh, the kid has finished the first grade's work and all that, and then he wants to move on to something more. Oh, we're not gyanis, we don't care about all that, you know, like that. This, you know, this first grade is enough. How will the society develop? And then this speaking like this is always thought to be very intellectual, very mature, very, you know, accommodating, when actually it's just first grade. First to third grade. You know, we don't want to, you know, be too harsh in our, you know what I'm saying? Why I say third grade is because eight-year-olds are quite nice. You know, they're quite interactive, quite good. Like that. Yes?
You also mentioned previously that some people, they can be very advanced on one level, and in some areas not so advanced.
Yes.
But usually the problems in relationships, personal interactions, when they hit those not advanced areas, that's when the relationship breaks.
Yes.
Should we avoid those areas, or
it can? Yes. Means if it's a generic concept, is that therefore we only deal with that person if we have a relationship with them in the areas of the relationship that work. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't have to deal with them outside of that. You know what I'm saying? You meet somebody, you have a friend, you have you only have to deal with them on that level. You actually don't have to deal on any other level. Like that. You could, but you don't. In other words, why? Just take that level that you are dealing and enhance that. Right? Is that makes sense? Yeah.
Can you just give more example on this? Because I'm really interested in what you're saying, but I can't really...
Meaning?
Like, can you give an example?
Give an example. Let's say there's somebody that you like cooking with. Mm-hmm. In the kitchen, everything goes really, really well. Mm-hmm. You know, so you can discuss things, menus, techniques of cooking, big festivals. You can talk about, hey, remember when we did this there? Or, hey, next time we do this. And you can talk all day like that. But outside of cooking, their ideas are totally different. Mm-hmm. So you don't deal with them outside of cooking.
Yeah.
Whenever you talk with them, you only talk about cooking. You know, you come across a new recipe or something like that, then you talk to them about that, and you know, and that way you cultivate the relationship. Okay? Yeah.
Some people can argue for many, many years and even like break the relationship because one thing is that I should have pepper and one thing is I should have ginger.
Ben, don't talk to them.
Yeah.
You understand? Yeah. Catch what we're talking about. Because see is that there's a principle is there. This is the important part. The principle is there. There are unlimited connections to those. Because Krishna is unlimited. He has unlimited qualities. And the forms and actions that you can connect to those qualities are also unlimited. So we give an example to illustrate or illuminate the principle. So then you yourself take that and, okay, apply that into the areas where you have experience. You know what I'm saying? And if it's something that will illuminate the thing that people aren't understanding, then bring that out.
I guess I wanted to underline the point that you can't really avoid certain things. If somebody is like by nature, he likes, or he was raised in the environment, or he had an experience of just being a conflict person, then in any situation he can be conflicting.
Yes. So, but the point is do you have a relationship with that person? You understand? This is a very specific point. We're talking about how to take advantage of things that there is a relationship where something, but there's one area that's weak. If the person's that no matter what you do, they'll find fault, you just avoid them. That's a different thing. You understand? Does that work? It's slightly different. Same, the element of the problem, that aspect's the same. But we were looking at the positive side, not the negative.
Mm-hmm.
On the negative, the principle is you avoid the negative, cultivate the positive. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that was our initial topic today, like accepting the positive, the Hare Krishna mantra, and neglecting the negative, four-legged principle.
No, the four-legged principle. yeah, but here it's negative means you don't know how to deal with it. No, that's a different thing. That's a matter of how mature are they at the time, how much they can accommodate. Because when you meet a living entity, you don't know how much they've contacted devotional service before. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how much they've contacted. So, therefore, you have those that they come in contact and immediately have faith, and there's others that it takes them years and years and years before they get faith. So it means the one person has more agyata sukriti, the other one has less. Mm-hmm. You know, it'll be claimed that, no, but, you know, I was intellectual, I was this and that and so many things, and they didn't deal with me properly, so I was put off. But that's all they're saying is just furthering their explanation of their own lack of agyata sukriti.
Because
mm-hmm. the point is that spiritual faith has nothing to do with material facility. Or ability. So they're thinking, I was smart, I was educated, I came across the devotees, they dealt in an unsophisticated way, I didn't like it. So their think is that I'm sophisticated, that makes me advanced. Rather than you're sophisticated, that's what's getting in the way of your becoming a devotee. That's their disqualification. But they're presenting it as, no, I was very qualified. They didn't deal properly, so it wasn't my fault. It was their fault. No, you're the one that doesn't have enough agyata sukriti.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because if its obstacles are the thing, then why is Romeo and Juliet so popular? You don't get more obstacles than that.
More stupidity than that.
Hmm?
I don't like this. I mean, I'm sorry. I guess we can make a poster. Get Sukriti.
That's another thing. But here. It's a matter of understanding that qualification is by Krishna's mercy. You follow the process, you get the mercy. Does that make sense? Yeah. That's what we're trying to do. Okay? The Devatas continued addressing Lord Brahma. O Lord, we have heard from reliable sources that in order to obtain your post, Hiranyakashipu is now engaged in severe austerity. You are the master of the three worlds. Please, without delay, take whatever steps you deem appropriate. Right. So this is the fun part is, Brahma already knows that his purpose is to take Brahma's position and turn everything upside down. But he's performing the austerities to get the favor of Brahma so he can do that. Right? So this is the demoniac mentality. You get somebody's favor to, you know, take the other person's position. Yes?
Two questions. Is this really possible to take Lord Brahma's position? Because we hear about Indra's position can be taken.
Yeah.
Brahma
people come in, but Brahmas, no, because they don't have the piety. It's like he sees Vedanta, no? But how much? It's connected with passion. Well, Brahma is situated in goodness of goodness. Right? Remember, Manu, there's very few things in goodness of goodness. So Brahma is one of them, Pradhan is one of them. You know, I think Dharma, I'm not sure if Dharma Shastra is there.
Is it the start, the confirmation?
No, I thought it was, but they're the next one down. They're passion of goodness, because that they have so much effect in everything, controlling the mind. But I always was presenting it that they were, but they're in passion of goodness. Mm. You know, but there's very few in there either. So it's very, they don't have the qualification. They wouldn't be able to see things, do things, you know, they'll do it in their own way, and you know.
And the second one,
because we never hear in history of anyone taking Brahma's position.
Yeah, that's
we hear Indra and so many other things, but Brahma we never hear. It's also not interesting because he sits up there. Where's the sense gratification? He's hanging out with the personified Vedas. Come on. You know? Yogis. You know? Vishnu with 1,000 heads. Now, you could have a good conversation. But you know.
And the second point was Brahma knew that that was Hiranyakashipu's idea. So he followed his dharma. Isn't it? Because he's still detached.
Yes, he follows his dharma, but he's, because you said, he's detached. Because of being detached, he has knowledge, he's detached and all that, so therefore he can deal with it in a more comfortable way. You know, it's just like, let's say, you have someone, you're dealing with them not properly, they get immediately insulted. Right? Then you have the person who you're dealing improperly, but they keep their cool. Later they'll get you.
Scary.
Huh?
Those are the scary ones.
Yeah. Then you have the person that you deal with improperly and it doesn't bother them at all. They're the ones that change you. I mean, change you in a positive way, and rather than you end up on the bottom of the, you know, Hudson River. You know. Yeah, like that. Does that make sense? So it's just a matter of the thing. So Brahma's on that, he will act in such a way that will, but he's still not good enough. Only Vishnu is good enough to do that. Like that. Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, in the material world, a servant is provided for by the master, but is always planning how to capture the master's post. There have been many instances of this in history. So, because everybody wants to be the controller and enjoyer. So if anybody's in a higher position, there's the tendency on the material platform to want that. So that's why the Vedic system is there. There has to be authority. There has to be the line of authority. So you know, I'm in this position. So it's not that they have a problem that there is authority. They just want to be the authority themselves. So there's a difference between someone who accepts authority but wants to be the authority and someone who doesn't accept authority and wants to be the authority. The one can, if they are qualifying the authority, they'll be able to establish things nicely. The other one can never make anything work properly, you know, like that, because they don't accept authority. So if you don't accept authority, no one really accepts them as authority. Right. Does that make sense? Someone who accepts authority, you can accept them as authority. Someone who doesn't accept authority, how will it work? Yes?
So it's a weakness in Sambandha, actually, so it's not solid, so it's
nothing. Yes, that's a good point, because there's no foundation. Yeah, because their identity, all this and that, they can't do it, so they can't encourage that, because it's knowledge and a mood. So the Sambandha, they can't establish. Because they don't have it. That's good. Yeah. So if without Sambandha, how will there be Abhidhaya and Prayojana? Because Abhidhaya and Prayojana is only the applying the Sambandha.
Yeah.
I have the knowledge. I have the attitude. I have the plan. I know what the results can be. But that's all theory. So when I apply it, then it's there. So if with the Sambandha Gyan is weak, it won't work. You know. Or their goal is wrong. You know. Or now in the modern day, their methods... You know. Yeah. So, yeah.
The Devatas continued, O Lord Brahma, your position within this universe is certainly most auspicious for everyone, especially the cows and Brahmanas. Brahminical culture and the protection of cows can be increasingly glorified, and thus all kinds of material happiness, opulence, and good fortune will automatically increase. Right. So we see here when the demigods are talking that Brahma, he's auspicious for the universe, especially the Brahmins and cows. So the two are a package. Does that make sense? So of the full package of Brahmins, cows, women, children, and old men, Brahmins and cows are the first. If you have that, you'll have the other three. If you don't have that, you won't have the other three. But we see is that when this package is approached, if it's ever approached, it's always selective. It's never as a group. And it's never Brahmins and cows, because no matter which way you put it together, Brahmins are always left out. It's just guaranteed. You know how you say? You can, how you say? Sorry? Yeah, money back guarantee. Yeah, you can, that's it. So, you know, you'll see today, oh no, but what about the cows and all, what about the Brahmins? They go together. You understand? Because why are the cows important? Because they provide the milk for the Brahmins. But if the Brahmins aren't important, then what's the importance of the cows? Right? The Brahmins, because they do the worship of the Lord and all that, but that's done through the ingredients given by the cows. And the intelligence for Brahminical culture comes from the milk of the cows. So in other words, Brahminical culture is what you want to do, but that requires the cows. So you can't support the cows and not support the Brahmins. Because what's the point? You know? That's like saying, we support the, you know, high quality roads, maintenance and everything like that, but you know, these cars, they're a problem. You know? Does that make sense? It doesn't work. You know, a great kitchen, but you know, we're not into cooking. You know, that kind of thing. The two go together. Is that? Yeah. Okay. But unfortunately, if Hiranyakashipu occupies your seat, everything will be lost. Because he's not worried about Brahmins and cows. He's just worried about sense gratification. See, the point is, he's willing to follow the laws of austerity and all that to get his position of sense gratification. But once he gets it, what do you need that in it for anymore? Something says? The goal for him is sense gratification. Once you have it, why do you need the process anymore? Yes.
The point is that one should follow the Vedas, but if one picks and chooses what, or the process, if one picks and chooses what they want from that, then it's still speculation.
If you pick from there without the whole package, yes, it's a problem. If you pick from there which aspect you want to be involved in and focus on, that's fine. That's the glory of the Vedic culture, is everybody specializes.
But you have to take the whole package of that.
Of that, yes. Yeah. Yeah. That yes. Okay. Okay. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, your position is for producing the best for the world. If he takes the pose, he will create the opposite. Your post is for the flourishing of Dharma, for the created people and planets. If he gains control, there will be destruction of Dharma. Your post is for auspiciousness and improvement. If he reigns, there will be inauspiciousness and ruination. Because Brahma is for how everything will go smooth nicely in Krishna's creation. Hiranyakashipu is how everything will go smoothly for his, you know how you say? Hiranyakashipu's world. Right? You know, like that. Make a show, right? Srila Prabhupada adds, in this verse, the words Dvija Gavam, Parameshtyam, indicate the most exalted position of the Brahmanas, the Brahminical culture, and the cows. In Vedic culture, the welfare of the cows and the welfare of the Brahmins are essential. Without a proper arrangement for developing Brahminical culture and protecting cows, all the affairs of administration will go to hell. being afraid that Hiranyakashipu would occupy the post of Brahma, all the demigods were extremely disturbed. In the beginning of creation, Lord Brahma was attacked by two demons, Maru and Kaitava, but Krishna saved them. Oh, him. Therefore, Krishna is addressed as Maru Kaitava Hantri. Now again, Hiranyakashipu is trying to replace Brahma. The material world is so situated that even the position of Lord Brahma, not to speak of ordinary living entities, is sometimes in danger. Nonetheless, until the time of Hiranyakashipu, no one had tried to replace Lord Brahma. Hiranyakashipu, however, was such a great demon that he maintained this ambition. Now, before, they just bothered him, you know, wanted to eat him, like this, you know, so. But here he was to replace him. At the present, especially on this planet Earth, the influence of Lord Brahma has decreased considerably, and the representatives of Hiranyakashipu, the yakshas, rakshasas, and demons, have taken charge. Therefore, there is no protection of Brahminical culture and cows, which are the basic prerequisites for all kinds of good fortune. This age is very dangerous because society is being managed by demons and rakshasas. Verse 14 to 21. Lord Brahma visits Hiranyakashipu. Narad Muni continued, O king, being thus informed by the demigods, the most powerful Lord Brahma, accompanied by Bhrigu, Daksha, and other great demigods, immediately started for the place where Hiranyakashipu was performing his penances and austerities. Lord Brahma, who was carried by a swan plane, at first could not see where Hiranyakashipu was, for Hiranyakashipu's body was covered by an anthill and by grass and bamboo sticks. Because Hiranyakashipu had been there for a long time, the ants had devoured his skin, fat, flesh, and blood. Then Lord Brahma and the demigods spotted him, resembling a cloud-covered sun, heating all the world by his austerity. Struck with wonder, Lord Brahma began to smile and then addressed him as follows, 14 to 16. Srila Prabhupada comments, The living entity can live merely by his own power, without the help of skin, marrow, bone, blood, and so on, because it is said, Asango Yam Purusha, the living entity has nothing to do with the material covering. Hiranyakashipu performed a severe type of tapasya, austerity, for many long years. Indeed, it is said that he performed the tapasya for 100 heavenly years. Right, so that's for us is what, 36,000 years. So that's not a small amount of time. Yeah, so no, it's not any surprise that the ants ate everything. Right? It is also to be noted that although Hiranyakashipu performed this austerity for a long time, he was nonetheless known as Daitya and Rakshasa. It will be seen from verses to follow that even great saintly persons could not perform such a severe type of austerity. Why then was he called a Rakshasa and Daitya? Right? So here, he's classified within the Daityas, but we do see that there's this element of Rakshasa where this mode of ignorance is there. Because generally when you have passion, ignorance is right there with it. Right? Because if there's passion with goodness means you follow the rules, but as soon as you step away from the rules, then ignorance will replace the goodness. So, yeah. Okay, why was he called a Rakshasa and Daitya? It is because whatever he did was for his own sense gratification. His son, Prahlad Maharaj, was only 5 years old, and so what could Prahlad do? Yet simply by performing a little devotional service, according to the instructions of Narad Muni, Prahlad became so dear to the Lord that the Lord came to save him. Whereas Hiranyakashipu, in spite of all his austerities, was killed. This is the difference between devotional service and all the other methods of perfection. Because devotional service, a little bit done, gives such great benefit, unlimited benefit, because you're connecting with the unlimited. While if one's pious and one's following all the rules and that, or like here, following the austerities and all that, then you're connecting with the Supreme, but you're connecting as through his energies. The inferior energies. So therefore you'll get an inferior result. While Prahlad Maharaj is performing devotional service, he's connecting to the Lord through his superior energies. So that gives an unlimited result. Does that make sense? So one is connecting with Yogamaya,
the others with Mahamaya. And so because of that, then the materialist gets an inferior result to the spiritualist. So even the materialist is doing his best on connecting with Mahamaya, in this way connecting to the Lord. His result will still be less than whoever's on the, you know, beginning stage of devotional service. Because one is unlimited, while the other is always limited, no matter how good it is. Does that make sense? That's why when we get too distracted by the materialists and how good they are and how expert they are, that's not actually very important. Because all those things don't really have any meaning, right? So if they can engage in the Lord's service, great. But it's not the thing that's important. It's the connection that's important, right?
Remember you were talking about this concept that in the material world, it's we have karma mishra bhakti, jnana mishra bhakti, they have bhakti mishra karma. And sometimes I've seen devotees, they have problems in their spiritual life just because they become very spiritual, but they neglect that. There are materialists, for example, I'll just give it, there are materialists who are able to eat planes and digest iron, and they're in the world genus records. And our devotees, during the prasharam, they're saying how they can't digest this or that, and it's very annoying.
Right.
So I was wondering, like in Ishopanishad, it said that we need to study the ignorance and the knowledge side by side. So would that mean that some devotees, when they are completely isolating themselves from the karmi world, so-called, it means that, like, they're... It makes it hard for them to practice.
What has isolation got to do with it?
Hmm? They're ruining their health. They're ruining their relationships. They're making.
That's there, but that's just their application. But what does that have to do? It means the principle is isolation. The principle is not devotional service. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. Yeah, if we look at it the sincerity is everything. Like the sincerity, the holy name, the chanting, spiritual practice. At the same time, some devotees are not living in Mayapur. Some devotees are living like outside, and they have to face the world. And they can't.
No, but the point is where's not the world here? Where's not the world?
I mean, it depends upon the location of which country they live in, also. But.
I just found out yesterday Mayapur has 4G. So how are they not connected with outside?
Okay, they are connected, but like it's one thing when you're connected.
Anybody here doesn't have email or Facebook or Twitter or something?
Everyone has.
Okay, so why are they? How are they not connected?
No,
you have to understand this. They're sitting in America. Do they leave their house? No, they sit there and they're on the internet. That's how they know the world. So you're in the same exact world as they are anywhere else. You just have the advantage that when you're not looking at that, around you is the spiritual world. While when they're not looking at that, they're in the material world.
Yes. No, that's true.
You know what I'm saying? So who's isolated? Who are these people that are isolated? I'd actually like to meet them. They're probably quite nice.
Okay, they're in the sense that we're not isolated, of course, to Mars, okay, but other planets are also existing. So it means like when you're like physically contacting the world, not through your like.
But how many people contact the world? Okay, like this: the guy's at his house, you know, on internet, on all this free time,
mm-hmm.
along with every other member of their family.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get in his car. He'll drive down the exact same street. Never go a different way, right? Go to the same office with the same people, do the same job, eat the same lunch, and then when he's finished, drive back the same route to the same house and go back on the same internet. Where is this world you're talking about?
Well,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
It says, it's just like you're on, what do you call it? What's that street name? I don't even know the name. You know where you have all the Hollywood stars? The stars on the sidewalk?
Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Yeah, okay, like that. Now, who's there? right? It's in a prestigious area, so at the same time you have some nice people there in this, you have a lot of tourists there, and you have people that are there trying to make money off of everybody who's there. So, which world are you talking about?
Yeah, that's why I'm saying the location also matters, but in principle...
No, but the point is the tourist only sees that. The culture person only sees theirs, the guys who's taking advantage. They don't actually see the other worlds. So it's only if you have some knowledge and stuff like that, then you may see more. But who is seeing more?
Yeah, depends on perspective.
Yeah. You know, I have a friend... He was going to the most prestigious schools, you know, from an aristocratic family. And at one point he just freaked out because it's so artificial. He found a boat that was, you know, one of these, I don't know what kind of boat that goes around the world and you can hire on as a hand on the boat. And he stayed out there for like a year or something on a boat with a bunch of sailors. How many people do you know that does that? This guy's so practical, you know. And then he ended up in Australia as a ranch hand. You know what I'm saying? This guy's from, I'm not joking, aristocrat. And when I say aristocrat, I mean actual, real aristocratic family. You know, means like, you know, the queen is, what do you call it? The new queen or king is coming in and they'll be on the list. You know? So now here you could say, no, that's a wide range. But most people never get experience outside of their little dinky world that they're in, and then saying, that's the world? That's why we have these problems. As Prabhu's pointing out, that's because they don't contact the world. They're living out there so-called in the world, but they're not contacting it. Therefore, they think how they think is the whole world. Hmm? You understand? So the element is the only way you can really see the world and accelerate is through Krishna consciousness. You come in contact with that, see with that vision, then you can see the world. Otherwise, if by your karma that you're more worldly like that, you will be, but most people aren't. And even their so-called more worldly, even that is very limited. It doesn't mean they can see Krishna consciousness. So even if they're worldly, doesn't mean they can see Krishna consciousness. So those who have very little exposure to a wide range, and those who have, that's not a qualification for Krishna consciousness. So the point is it's not to do with there, it's to do with how much they're interested in Krishna consciousness. You're going to have nothing much to do with the world and be very, very nice. So the pujaris, they sit in there, how much do they contact outside? Jananivas, you know, when Prabhupada was here, he never left the Lotus building. I'm not joking you. He never even went to the front gate. I remember one time later, was walking down to the front gate. It was like the first time he had been there in like 10 years or something. Right? But at the same time, I don't think you'll find a nicer person on the planet. You know what I'm saying? And then you have people that are exposed to the world, all that, and they're so bitter. Have nothing nice to say about anything. You know what I'm saying? So exposure to the world or not exposure to the world is not the thing. It's what they do with it. You know what I'm saying? You know. You ever seen this at the... Sometimes you see these funny little videos. They have a Ferrari... And then they have a guy in like a VW, you know, bug. And then they have a race and the VW wins.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so the whole point is that it's how you use it. You understand? So it's what you do with it, it's not what you have. So just because they have a situation that's, you know, in that particular way, that's not what's making them like that. They're like that, therefore they're in that situation. You're taking it that it's totally the environment. The environment's only one quarter. That they're in that environment, that's coming from last life. That's 50%. 50%. 50%. Mm-hmm. 50. So, point is, yeah. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Prabhupada ki.